So I have a two-part podcast here on breathing, and they're coming at the same topic from two different directions, or I should say going in opposite directions, but they have different context. So the first topic is do not hold your breath excessively when you're swimming, and that's the other podcast. This one is going to be about when you should be practicing holding your breath, okay? Now, normally you want to feel adequately or abundantly respirated when you're swimming. I mean, that's ideal. As a matter of fact, it's ideal to have fitness so much that at the level that you need to perform, whether it's recreational swimming or it's long distance swimming or you're racing, you want to have a breathing pattern that keeps you abundantly respirated so you don't feel like that happens to be your limiting factor. Let's let other things be your limiting factor, like just how far you need to go or how fast you need to go and the muscle strength and stuff. But hopefully you're doing enough training so that respiration isn't your limiting factor. But I realize when you're new at swimming, this is very likely going to be one of the things, one of the first limiting factors you're going to experience. And you'd be like, oh, swimming's so tired, my heart rate's pounding, and da-da-da. Because it takes a little time to get that initial fitness. Matter of fact, it's going to take you anywhere from 4 to 12 weeks of swimming 4 or 5 times a week. So add that one up. How many practices that is? You know, 50 practices or something before you really start to feel like, hey, I feel really fit cardiovascular-wise. I don't feel terribly stressed when I'm working out. Okay, anyways, so we're putting that aside. You should be fit already. And in your general breathing strategy, you want to breathe frequently enough that you feel abundantly respirated. And you want to do that because, especially in open water swimming or in competition, there's going to be many times when you have to skip a breath. When a wave comes and it's right when you turn your face and you're ready to take that breath, and bam, a wave is there, and it's just not a good time to be swallowing air, gulping air, because you're going to gulp water with it. And so usually your brain's pretty good about closing that off and not accidentally doing that. But if you have been not breathing adequately or you don't have good air management technique, you go up for that breath and you're pretty desperate. I mean, you feel desperate for every breath. And boom, that wave comes and you have to skip it. Now your body goes to a heightened level of distress, because the brain is really good about keeping your priorities straight when your survival is at stake, regardless of what you want to do in the race. So you've been thinking about technique and you've been thinking about speed, but if you're running out of air, your brain's like, forget all that, and it's going to turn you back into a land mammal, and it's going to make you either stop swimming or shove your head up in the air or do whatever it's got to do so you can get the air that you need. And so we should be thankful that we have that mechanism. Otherwise, we'd be making ourselves do stupid things and passing out and dying in the water more often than we do. So you want to breathe abundantly so that normally you're not in stress. But the fact is, the longer that you swim, the more intensely that you train, the more challenging the swim events that you go, whether it's pool or open water, the more often you're going to run into scenarios where, either for enjoyment or for tactical reasons or for situational or dangerous situations, you're going to have to hold your breath for an extraordinary amount of time, and you need to be able to continue to perform with good technique regardless of the increasing distress signals that are coming in your body. Because you know what? You're not going to die. And that's the thing that your training needs to convince you of. You need to go through the training so that you realize, you know, when I feel that initial like, oh, I should breathe, or the initial like, hey, you really need to breathe, or kind of start screaming out like, you really need to breathe, and you feel these squeezes and these tensions and the warning signals inside the body, the urges to make yourself breathe, you really can go a lot further than you realize. And those signals, those strong urges are there because you haven't been trained to go further. So I don't want you to do this without training, don't just make yourself, you're going to pass out and then you're going to drown and then that's going to be a bad deal. So we're not talking about doing extreme apnea, you know, extreme breath holding exercises. But what I'm advocating for is for you to regularly incorporate into your swimming periods of time where you are holding your breath for 6, 7, 8 seconds, and then you are continuing to swim after that and recover yourself while you continue swimming. Do not stop at the wall and refresh yourself. You can slow down your stroke a bit. You can breathe a little bit more frequently after you've held your breath. But the idea here is to let the little wave of discomfort flow through you, the urge come, resist it for a while, come up, take your breath, and then feel the wave of stress moving back out or subsiding down through your body, because there's kind of a reverse stress once you initially take that gulp into your body. It doesn't just instantly go away. There's kind of like a, you can feel like a change in your bloodstream or in your blood chemistry. And it's slightly uncomfortable even after you've taken in that initial gulp of air. Somebody could interpret that as, oh, I didn't get enough, I should stop and get more breath. And actually, you probably did get enough air, but it just takes a little time for that blood, that oxygen in the blood, to make its way back down to the cells that were screaming. And so even after you take the initial gulp, that gulp to replenish yourself, there's a little bit of lag time until the refreshment hits the cells that need it deeper in the body. Okay, does that make sense? So what you want to practice doing is swimming along, skipping some breaths, feeling the stress come, you take that replenishing breath, and then you just immediately go back into your normal breathing pattern and let that, let you just recover over 2 or 3 or 4 breaths. And the more that you do this, the more you're going to realize, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. Your body's also going to adapt a little bit. Part of this is a little bit of oxygen deprivation, periodic oxygen deprivation, which then also your body adapts to that. And so it will become more efficient at using the oxygen. It's got to be more efficient, become more efficient at delivering the oxygen to the blood cells and removing the waste products. So it will provoke really good things. There's a reason why athletes do like wear those respiration restriction masks, or they train at altitude, because this forces your body to adapt. So one way that pool swimmers, pool competitors, one way that we experience that deprivation on every lap is that a lot of pool swimmers, myself included, we have learned to hold our breath for an extraordinary amount of time on every flip turn. So we don't take a breath usually from the flags to the wall. That's about 2 strokes into the wall, 2, maybe 3 strokes into the wall. You flip. You didn't take a breath right before you reached the wall because you didn't want to break your momentum. You flip, and then you push off, and then you break out, and you still don't take your breath on the first stroke out of the water. You wait till the second breath. And that could end up being like 6, 7, 8 seconds of holding your breath. And that's a long time for swimmers to hold their breath. So almost every lap, a swimmer training in this way is going to feel this deprivation, and then the next series of breaths that they take down the lane, when they replenish, and then boom, they do another flip turn, push off the wall, and they've done another deprivation moment, and then they replenish again when they work their way down the lane in the other direction. And so there's great benefit in this, because first of all, you're provoking adaptation in the body. Then number two, you're learning the sensations in your body. You're learning that actually the urges you feel are not as urgent as you thought they were. And you actually can last longer. Plus you're gonna be more fit, so you can truly last longer. And also mentally, you're just gonna realize when those sensations come, you're just gonna no longer have a negative emotional association with them. They're gonna be like, oh, I feel the little tightness in the chest, and right, I'll get a breath in a moment. And then you pop up and you get your breath, and then you go on, and then that little stressful feeling in the body subsides and you're okay. And it was just no big deal. And it's just a normal part of the swim. So that's really good for the mental side, the emotional side of training too. That so then when you find yourself, like, you've been doing this in the pool and you're out in open water swimming and it's really rough water and you got to skip a breath here and there, or you're swimming in a race and it's all chaotic on the surface and people, then you're just like, ah, I skip breaths all the time, no big deal. And, you know, you're okay with it. The stress doesn't stress you out of having that, you know, feeling of a bit of respiration deficit. So you just know, well, I'll just wait a bit and then I'll make it up here pretty soon. But it doesn't have to stop your swimming. So I wanted to encourage you that on both ends. The other podcast is about not holding your breath, so that when you're trying to remove the stress, the respiration stress, you shouldn't start out with a deficit at the beginning of your swim, so you don't start that way. And that's particularly good news, or a good piece of advice for those of you who are newer at swimming and newer at training and just trying to build up your fitness kind of for the first time or at the beginning of the season. So don't, yeah. Anyways, you can go listen to that podcast. So anyways, that's the two topics, when to hold your breath and when not to hold your breath in swimming. And I hope that gives you some interesting ideas for your own training. Talk to you later.